Good morning, Symphony and JCC. I'm Pastor Mike, College Pastor of Symphony Church, and welcome again to our Sunday service. If this is your first time worshiping with us, I'm so glad that you're here, and I really hope you can continue to get plugged into the microchurch that you're in right now. Over the past couple weeks, we looked at the importance of prayer, because a life of faith is reflected by a life of prayer. Pastor Chan talked about how prayer is simply talking to God, communicating with our Father in heaven. And it's through prayer that we can have intimacy with him. Pastor Bray then talked about how the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. There's great cause for us to pray always in all circumstances because of the one we pray to. God hears our prayers. And if God hears our prayers, then there's great cause for us to pray, "Let your kingdom come." Today, we're going to close out our prayer series by talking about God's kingdom. What does it mean to pray, "Let your kingdom come"? And what would it look like for God's kingdom to unfold on earth as it is in heaven? Let's take a look at Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. Please open your Bibles or Bible apps to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Luke 11, 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can gather in our microchurches to pray and to worship and to learn how to pray. God, I pray that you would teach us how to pray, "Your kingdom come." I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes to see the grandeur and the majesty of your kingdom. And so even as we're hearing your message today, hearing your word, God, I pray that in our hearts we would receive your kingdom to unfold. We would invite you to reign in our hearts. So come and move in our lives today. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. My favorite instrument is the guitar. I started playing the guitar when I was in 7th grade, and my inspiration for even picking up a guitar in the first place was from this guy named Jesse. He was a high school junior at the time, and one day he was playing in my youth group sanctuary. It was just him and his guitar amped up, and I could hear from down the hallway in my church. So I entered the sanctuary, crawled to one of the back pews, and I just watched him play. And after he was done, I went up to him and said, "Jesse, can you teach me how to play the guitar?" He taught me some basic chords, enough to play many Christian songs. And then a few months later, I see this other guy named Dan play this chord that sounds very much like an E chord, but it's all the way up on the 7th and 9th fret. And so I went up to Dan and asked, "What's that chord? Can you teach me how to play it?" When I got to high school, I became very much a John Mayer fan. And I would ask John Mayer in my dreams, "Can you teach me how to play that song?" And so then I would go to ultimateguitar.com, and the first song I learned how to play was "No Such Thing." At a certain point, I became content with my guitar playing, not because I'm this amazing guitar player now, but I just stopped wanting to learn. I stopped asking. Other things in life became a higher priority. But when it becomes about prayer, We must constantly ask Jesus, Lord, teach me to pray. So often we think that prayer is not as important as other things in our life, or we become content with where we're at in our prayer life. But in our passage today, the disciples saw Jesus praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. They had this desire to grow in prayer. And I believe God is calling us to be like the disciples and ask, Lord, how can I pray? How can I pray more? What else can I pray for? What's on your heart, God? And the good news is that Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says in verses 2-4, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Today, we're going to focus on the phrase, your kingdom come. It's a part of this prayer that many of us know as the Lord's Prayer, but some scholars say that it's better understood as the disciples' prayer. Jesus taught his disciples that when they pray, they should say, Father, hallowed be your name. Or in other words, let your name be honored, revered, and regarded as holy. And then he says to pray, let your kingdom come. What does it mean for us to pray, your kingdom come? Well, in order for us to know what it means, we first need to know what that kingdom even is. You know, we don't usually hear kingdom language today unless it's in TV shows and movies, or maybe Six Flags, or if you're living in one of the 44 sovereign states in the world with a monarchy. But the word for kingdom is taken from the word basileus, the Greek word for king. And it simply means the reign of the king. So the kingdom of God is the reign of God. It's not merely where God is present, but it's primarily where God reigns. Now, there's something very interesting, something very paradoxical about the kingdom of God in Scripture. It says in Scripture that the kingdom of God is already here, but not yet in its fullness. It's here right now, but we have yet to see the fullness of it. More is yet to come. I'm not sure if everyone here knows the book series Chicken Soup for the Soul, but in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, there's a story called Keep Your Fork. In essence, the story details the wishes of a woman diagnosed with a terminal illness, given 6 months to live. She asks for her pastor to come to her home to discuss her funeral wishes, what she'll wear, the songs to be sung, and the scriptures to be read. But she adds one more thing. When they bury me, I want my Bible in one hand and a fork in the other. And then the pastor asks, why? The woman explains that at the end of the main course of many social gatherings she's attended, someone would whisper to her, keep your fork. It was her favorite part of the meal because she knew something even better was to come, like chocolate cake or another sweet treat. So she continued. Her wish was that when people see her in the casket with a fork in her hand, they'll wonder, what's with the fork? And then the pastor will have to explain, keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. If we have been following Jesus for some time now, we have tasted and seen glimpses of the kingdom of God, but more is yet to come. The best is yet to come. In Christian theology, we call this kingdom theology, or already but not yet theology. This theological concept holds that believers are actively taking part in the kingdom of God right now, although the kingdom will not reach its full expression until sometime in the future. We are already in the kingdom, but we do not yet see it in its full glory. Let me first share a few passages that talk about the already kingdom, the right here, right now kingdom. When Jesus first began his earthly ministry, he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand, is near. Here's another instance in Luke 17, verses 20-21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So we see here the already kingdom, the right here, right now kingdom of God. When Jesus came to preach good news, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to transform cultures and communities, he inaugurated the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish a new way of life, an abundant life with God. And it's in the kingdom of God that all of this happens. But on the flip side, we have yet to see the fullness of it. It's not hard to see that brokenness and sin are still rampant in this world. There has to be more to life than this. And so in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." In this verse, we have a now. We are the children of God now, but we have not yet seen what that will be. We are children of the King, but we must wait to see exactly what that entails. Let's read another passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 to 12. "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Once again, we have a now. We know in part, and we have a not yet. When Christ, the perfect, comes, returns, the partial will pass away, and we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. Jesus is the King, but his kingdom is not yet of this world. There's going to be a day when a new heaven and a new earth will burst forth, and we will see the fullness of Christ and his kingdom. And this is why Jesus tells us to pray, "Your kingdom come." We eagerly long for the coming of Christ in the future, but this prayer is also a plea to see more of God's kingdom to become increasingly established throughout the world in the here and now. Lord, we have yet to know you fully. I want to know you more. I want others to know the fullness of who you are. Let your kingdom come. Lord, we have yet to see the fullness of your shalom in our cities, in the nations, in this world. Let your kingdom come. God calls us to pray, "Your kingdom come." The kingdom of God comes through prayer. It's a present reality that requires our response. In a little bit, we'll talk about how his kingdom actually comes and unfolds, but it must first start with the response of prayer. Our prayers are the means by which God brings forth his kingdom. But as we pray this, we need to be careful to not impose our own kingdom visions and rules and plans onto God's. The prayer is, "Your kingdom come, not our kingdom come." It's inviting and pleading for the fullness of God's reign in all the earth, and what that looks like is for his will to unfold in every way. In a parallel passage to Luke 11, we see a more expanded version to the disciples' prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." God reigns where the will of God unfolds. And so you might be asking now, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is so multifaceted in Scripture. There's so many different nuances to God's will, but one of the ways to describe the will of God is the revealed will of God, or the general will of God. God's revealed will applies to all people, all of us. It's everything that God commands us to do through his word, commands that lead us to live a life that is pleasing to him as revealed in Scripture. If we want to know God's revealed will, and if we want to submit to it, we need to read and meditate on Scripture. The word of God reveals his will for us. And as his will unfolds in our lives, the kingdom of God will come in greater ways. God's kingdom today extends over to each and every one of us, to all who acknowledge him as king, who will submit to his rule, and who desire God's will in every area of life. And until Christ returns, we're called to pray, let your kingdom come in our lives, in our church, and through our church into the world. Let's unpack these three areas a bit more. First, we can pray, let your kingdom come into my life. One misconception or misunderstanding of the kingdom of God is that it's merely a geographic location. We think that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is up there and earth is down here, and there's no way for us to engage with the kingdom of God. But Scripture tells us that God's kingdom is at hand. It's within your grasp. The presence of God's kingdom is Christ reigning in the hearts and lives of every believer. And as I was wrestling with this, I felt like the Holy Spirit was calling us to consider the inner spiritual disposition of our hearts. We know what kingdom we're living in based on the spiritual disposition of our heart. Who is the king of your heart? Who reigns in your life? Whose will are you aiming to fulfill each day? The answers to these questions will show you whose kingdom you're living in. When we come to recognize areas in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds that are not aligned with the kingdom of God and the will of God, then I want to invite you to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done in this particular area of my life. Transform the things in my heart and my mind and my soul that are not part of your will. Praying your kingdom come in my life means asking the Heavenly Father to help us in our own lives to be faithful, obedient, and authentic Christians. Now, we need to be aware that praying your kingdom come is not a light prayer. Because there are some aspects of God's kingdom that we may like and other aspects of it that we may not like. Let's first take a look at some of the things that many of us are probably aligned with. Based on our passage in verses 3-4, I think many of us are for God's provision for our daily bread, God's forgiveness toward us, God's protection against temptation. But in our own sinfulness, there are some aspects of the kingdom of God that we may not be aligned with. Like, what if the daily bread that's good for us is not what we expected? Kenneth Bailey, a Christian author and professor, says, "In this petition to give us our daily bread, we ask for bread, not cake. Consumerism and the kingdom of mammon, which is the biblical term for riches, have no place among those who pray this prayer. We ask that which sustains life, not all its extras." What if our daily bread is not what we expected? How about forgiveness? What about your forgiveness towards others? Those who have done wrong to you, who've betrayed you, who've judged you without cause, who have hurt you emotionally or maybe even physically. What if deep down in your heart, that temptation we're asking for God to take away is something that you actually want, even though it's not aligned with God's will? Will you still invite the kingdom of God into your life, even though your will, your desires may not look exactly like God's will for you? God wants his kingdom to unfold in our lives, a daily dependence on God for our daily needs, God's forgiveness of our sins, our forgiveness towards others, to live in such a manner that is worthy of the gospel, to live in holiness. And so God is calling us to pray this prayer over our own lives. Let your kingdom come into my life. The second way we can pray this is let your kingdom come into our church. The Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer was not necessarily a prayer for the individual, but for the collective body of Christ, the church. Think about your family group, your microchurch, the deacons in our church, our church staff. Think about our different ministries. Imagine if we invited God to reign in our church, in every person, in every ministry, in every aspect of our church family. Imagine the kingdom of God unfolding in our church as the family of God. I was reading through Ephesians recently, and I was struck by a passage that I had read multiple times before. Paul was writing a letter to the church in Ephesus, and he gave several exhortations that I want to rephrase with this prayer, "Let your kingdom come." Let your kingdom come in the manner by which we walk as a church. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Let your kingdom come in our hearts and in the way we treat one another. Help us to live life together with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Let your kingdom come in our church unity. Help us to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let your kingdom come into our church. There's so many different ways to go about praying this, but let's pray for God to reign in our church. Let's pray that we would do this, that we would do his will. And the third way we can pray is, let your kingdom come into our cities and nations. God wants his kingdom to unfold not only in our personal lives, not only in our church, but also through the church into the world. That was Jesus' mission, to go from city to city, proclaiming good news that the kingdom of God is near. You know, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was teaching in synagogues. And one account of this was in Nazareth, the town where he grew up. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he read this from Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, the anointed one is Jesus. And a few verses later, Jesus said to all those listening in the synagogue, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." When Jesus came, he came as the one to bring in God's kingdom, to usher in a new age marked by good news of freedom and of joy, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives, opening up the prison doors to those who are bound, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And the passage in Isaiah extends the blessings of God's kingdom to proclaiming the day of vengeance of our God, comforting all who mourn, giving oil of gladness to those who mourn, giving a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. All of this points to the fact that those who seemed far off from God, the down and out, the outcast, the marginalized, the afflicted, the suffering, all are able to receive joy to replace sorrow. All are able to receive the favor of God. This is the kingdom, and it's available to all people. This is good news. And so we can pray and intercede for others, for our classmates, our professors, our colleagues, our bosses, our neighborhoods, our leaders, our families and friends, and say, "Let your kingdom come in our cities and in the nations." Would you bind up the brokenhearted? Would you comfort those who are mourning? Would you set our feet to dancing? Would you set liberty to the captives and oppressed? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our cities, in the nations, on earth as it is in heaven. I believe these are three ways we can pray for God's kingdom to come. Our Father in heaven, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your kingdom come in our church. Let your kingdom come in our cities and the nations. God wants the fullness of his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. He's not trying to impose something irrelevant and unwanted onto us. He wants to give what is good to his children. And so Jesus shares this parable to make this point. In verse 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "Which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Then a few verses later, Jesus continues on and says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the here and now. You know, have you ever experienced a time when you didn't realize you wanted something in your life until you received it? That's the kingdom of God. Whether you realize it or not, I believe that the soul of every person is crying out for the fullness of God's kingdom, for God to reign in all the earth as it is in heaven. God longs to give what is good for his children. Jesus says in Luke 11, verses 9 to 10, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Let's ask for the fullness of God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's seek God to reign in our lives and in our cities as it is in heaven. Let's knock on the doors of heaven and invite him to bring breakthrough in the brokenhearted, in the lost and confused, in the orphans and widows, in those grieving, in those who have yet to know Jesus. Jesus says that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to you. Let's pray, "Your kingdom come." Jesus prayed. He taught his disciples how to pray. And it's through prayer that God brings forth his kingdom. Will you follow Jesus in his life of prayer and also pray, "Your kingdom come"? Let's pray. Father, we invite your kingdom to come. Let your kingdom come into our lives. Let your kingdom come into our churches, God. Let your kingdom come into our cities and nations. God, we want to be a people who can be a part of advancing your kingdom in this world. But Lord, we want to start with prayer. We want to invite you to reign in all the earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Let your will be done, God, in our lives and in this world. You know, let's just take some time to pray. And let's pray for the kingdom of God to come into our lives. Let's just invite him to work. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our minds and our souls. And if there's anything that is not aligned with the kingdom and will of God, let's surrender those things at the feet of Jesus and say, "Lord, let your will be done in my life." Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Can we also pray for God's kingdom to come into our churches, into JCC, into Symphony Church? And let's pray that God would use our church to bring forth God's kingdom into our cities, into our campuses, our workplaces, our neighborhoods. Let's invite God's kingdom into our churches in our cities right now. Let's pray.
Jesus, invite your kingdom, God, to come. Invite your kingdom to come into our churches, to our cities, to our campuses, God. Lord, would you move in powerful ways, Lord. God, would you come? Bring breakthrough, Lord Jesus. Bring breakthrough into the streets of Austin. Bring breakthrough, Lord, into the cities, Lord.
Lastly, I'd love for us to pray for a brother and a sister from Symphony Church. We'll be sending them out to Taiwan for one-year missions. And their name is Brandon Yip and Saren Riggs Davis. We're actually going to be sending them out this Thursday. And it's just going to be a time for us to pray together. I want to share just a few details on this. For those who are in Boston, we're going to do a prayer send-off the night before they leave, which is Wednesday. So on Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m., we're going to come to the Symphony Church office and we're going to pray for Brandon and Saren. And then on Thursday morning, they leave pretty early. Their flight's at 8:30. So we're going to meet at the airport, Terminal B, and we're going to just pray for them at 6:45 a.m. If you're able to come, we love for many people to just come and pray for them and send them off with blessings. But right now, let's take some time to pray for Brandon and Saren. As they prepare their hearts to go to Taiwan, let's pray that God's kingdom would go forth with them to Taiwan, that the kingdom of God would come in Taiwan. The campus is there, the neighborhoods, the streets in Taiwan, the workplaces there, families, children. Let's pray that many would come to see the kingdom of God, that they would declare Jesus as their king. Let's pray right now for Brandon and Saren. At this time, we're going to go into a time of offering, and if everyone can actually take out their phone, you can go to the church app, or you can go to symphonychurch.com/connection card, and this is where we can stay connected with you. The other pastors, the staff, and I would love to pray for you, so if you have any prayer requests, please write them down there, and this is also an opportunity for you to you take next steps on how to respond to this message. How do you want to pray? Maybe it's joining for a Monday night prayer or a morning prayer this week. Maybe it's praying for God's kingdom to come into your life, into your church. Praying for God's kingdom to come into your city and in your neighborhood. Maybe it's taking intentional time to pray for Brandon and Saren as they prepare to go to Taiwan on one-year missions. And so we want to give you just a little bit to fill this out, and this is also an opportunity for you to give your financial offerings. But once again, at Symphony, and as we gather together, we really believe that an offering is more than our financial givings. It's an offering of our hearts. It's an offering of our prayers and saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. And so let's just take a few seconds to fill this out, and then I'll close for us. Let me close for us. Father, we thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is already here and that we have access to your kingdom. God, we have tasted and seen glimpses of it, but Lord, we want to see more of it, Lord. We want to come to see the fullness of your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life, in our lives, in our churches. Let your will be done in our neighborhoods and in the nations. We pray that your kingdom would unfold even in greater ways, God. Lord, we want to see more of it. Father, I pray that as we continue on in our times of prayer, that you would show us how to be a people of prayer, how to keep praying, your kingdom come, and invite you to reign in our lives as King. So Lord, thank you, God, for this time of worship. Thank you, God, for leading us by your Holy Spirit to know how we can pray, your kingdom come. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, thank you for joining us for worship. Everyone should be in a microchurch right now, and so I want to encourage you to take some time in your microchurch to pray together for a little bit, and let's pray. Lord, let your kingdom come in our lives, in our churches, and in our cities and the nations. Let's do that in your microchurch. I hope you have a great time of prayer, and see you next week.